Welcome back, everyone, to RTFD, Tales of Piracy, a Dungeons & Dragons podcast where four friends get to pretend to be pirates for a while. This is episode 17.
And one cast... eats dinner.
Yes, and one eats dinner.
got off work an hour ago.
We are perfectly valid. 16, not even. Get your dinner proudly.
I love it.
I am the Dungeon Master, Nick Smith, and as always, I am joined by our crew of Todd Blackburn.
Aye, Slayer here, and ripped to fucking death.
RTFD, very simple. Oh, God. I love it. Max Garner.
What up? I'm going to pass it on to you because I do not have an RTFD yet.
And Pat Kelly.
Howdy, playing Yuritai. See, the trick is you got to just wing it sometimes.
I know.
Not like thinking. Me. No, we might be. I'll get with you at the end. I need something to happen.
So, let's start with a recap of what happened last time. You had all started the morning of the Mogolos Festival when Rima had told you that her card that she had gotten from the deal she made over 10 years ago had finally turned completely black, meaning the arrival of this demon was imminent. You all went about the day normal, as per Rima's instructions, after you got Squala to safety, and afterwards participated in the fighting tournament of that year. No arrival of any incursion or any type of shady figure over that day, but the second day rolled around. The true New Year day. Rima was acting as if nothing was wrong. You guys were participating in the final fight against Stern Galax, rival to Slayer. And Slayer, after defeating the entire Moonweaver crew with, well, him mostly against Stern, and the Moonweaver crew being dealt with by Golan, Krolten, and Yuritai, after the fight had seemingly concluded, a crack formed in this giant, dark, abyssal shard that was in the center of the arena. Coming from it was a Dragalith, a half-demon, half-drow monstrosity that called forth its master. A seemingly wreathed in black and red flames, demonic-tailed creature. It chose one of the sisters, and the beast went hunting. The sisters ran and left you to deal with the master. After fighting him and Slayer dealing the final blow to it, it disappeared and left a single playing card behind. Then you decided to hunt the Dragalith. You followed the sisters' tracks from their booth, and you followed the Dragalith all the way down into the sewers below. And after quite a bit of time in the sewers looking around for this thing, you eventually heard a large crash and came upon an area covered in abyssal planar shards. You raced towards the crash and found the Dragalith had found where Rima and the sisters were hiding. He had killed the Cyclops that was guarding them, and the sisters were standing there defenseless. Rima tried holding off the beast, and as you tried to join in, the beast summoned two of its allies to its side, two shadow demons, to distract you long enough for him to deal lethal blow after lethal blow to Rima, killing her, ripping her soul from her, and leaving. Though you all helped in keeping her alive and stable just enough to say barely goodbye to her sisters, Rima had passed, and the beast was gone. Eventually, the Watcher organization, notified by Recorder Alfor, came in and removed all the abyssal shards from the island that they could find. They did all the investigating and possible research over a couple days, and then eventually left via transportation circles. You then all had a very somber 2 weeks, kind of collecting yourselves of the events that happened. Everyone kind of in shock, because you had won the tournament, but it came in a very bittersweet moment, as you also felt like you had lost at the same time. But Pitcher was picking up the crew's mood in this coming day as he was revealing the new ship, and Squala had decided to join the crew in telling them that she will not be joining the crew on their second excursion, because she had decided to take Rima's spot on the island. That's where we are now. The crew gathered on the dock, everyone kind of looking wide-eyed at Squala, just mouth open a little bit. And she looks, stands up tall, taller than you've seen before, Slayer, you know? Like, she looks very confident in her decision. What do you do?
Aye, Squala. Very sad to hear that, but I know you're making the right choice. But tonight, on this ship, everyone, let's party. And
Pitcher's gonna look around. Aye! We stay one more night to celebrate the departure of our lovely navigator, Squala. And the crew cheers and lets out a hearty yell. And you see Biff and Gert run off towards the Crooked Feather. What would you guys like to do to prepare for the party tonight? Is there anything like moving stuff on ships? Anything you would like to do?
Well, yeah. Actually, wait. We didn't bring our stuff from the...
So ship leaving right in the morning?
Yeah. First thing in the morning.
Can we find our spots on the ship?
Like, this is your last full day on the island. So do what you want to do before you leave.
So, like, my gear I'd usually keep in the inn. Can I take that stuff and plop it on the ship?
Yeah, we should move. Like, since I was camping. Can we move our stuff into the ship?
Yeah, can I drop my gear?
Yeah, you guys all... Let's say it takes, like, not even a full hour just to move all your stuff and your personal possessions from the Crooked Feather into your own personal. And while checking out the middle of the ship, let's go and describe what the interior looks like. So you guys step into the ship, and everyone's kind of picking out their rooms. You see them all slide below deck all the way to the bottom floor where the rooms are. It's a very open, spacious area, but it seems that these... Where the portholes would be for cannons, instead they seem like they fold the other way. You notice hinges on the bottom. And you then look at Biff, who pulls one down, and it's like this little plank of wood with chains attached to the far ends. Hinges downward, and it's got a little bedroll on it. And then on top of it, another one comes down. Gert hops on top of the top bunk. Biff dives onto the other one. And you see everyone kind of picking out different ones, and a Slayer, you notice a door with your... with just an S kind of carved into it. You walk into what would be the back section of the ship. It's the only other area with a door in it. You open it up, and you see... three separate of those hang down beds. And a little note on it from Pitcher. Like little P on one of the beds. Yeah, so that is your room as you guys find it. The note for you, Slayer, basically says that this is for you and the two newbies, seeming as you guys have gotten attached. He didn't know about Krolten when he had this built, so no extra bed, sorry.
After reading it, I'm just going to, you know, crumple it up a little and toss it off to the side.
Okay, so...
I'm just going to crumple it up. Yep. Is there a window in there, right?
Yeah.
Just right out the window. Right out the window,
got it.
Yeah. No, it never existed.
Yep, Krolten looks around. Oh my god.
That's great.
Where's my bed? I'll sleep on the ground. I mean, Sir Yurite, I mean, it looks like it's comfortable for you, so I mean, I'll give it a shot if you want the bed.
Oh no, I can't sleep on beds.
Oh, so can I?
Be my guest, good sir.
He just jumps and lands on top of it, and he lands on it, and it shakes a little bit, but it doesn't break.
Aye. As you see, there's a S on the door for Slayer, obviously. And I just want to set a few ground rules for our little room here I have to share with you guys, even though it says Slayer
on the door. Okay, here we go.
When I'm asleep, I'm asleep. Leave me be. That's it.
You can sleep for as long as you'd like, Slayer.
Aye, that's exactly like I want to hear.
But don't sleep too long, Slayer. You know, we're going to be out to sea. You got to be productive just like the rest of us, my dude.
Aye, don't worry. I'm just as productive. I just need extra sleep.
All right, buddy.
Yurite's going to pull out his camping pillow and camping gear that he kind of just brought with him from the forest, and he just literally makes a spot in the room. In the side, kind of puts his bag up against it, you know. Checks with the coffee maker. Still has some jerky rations. He's good.
Yep. You get up your own little section right next to. So Krolten has the furthest one, furthest bed from the entrance. And there's the middle one and the one that's closest to the entrance. Which one would you guys like to take?
I'll take the middle one.
Taken.
Closer to the entrance.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, which one does Slayer want?
Yeah, it's your room. You get to decide, really.
Ultimately. Which room would you instinctively walk to?
Or
which
bed? Back corner.
Back corner?
Okay, so, I mean, Krolten's lying down there. You can just kick him out.
Yeah. Aye, so I walk up to the back corner. I see Krolten laying there.
They're like, aye, matey, as you see, S on the door means Slayer. Aye, so that bed you are in is mine.
Oh, okay, sorry. And he, like, sits up. the whole thing creaks like with the shifting of his weeping, just hops down. So I'll just take the one on the far end then, or?
Aye. Exactly.
Okay, give me an intimidation check.
A 15.
15, okay. He just kind of like, he shuts up, nods his head, and just walks with it down over to the far bed.
I kind of pick up the bed and I lift it up and close.
Yep, there's like a little latch too at the top so you can like lock it into place.
I just put it up, lock it in, and grab my old hammock from the old ship and just string it up.
Got it. Give me a survival check.
Oh, 21.
Oh, yeah. You've hung up many hammocks and ships over your time. You know, this is your routine. You've had this hammock since...
the beginning.
Yeah, since, like, your first day on the ship, you've had this hammock. And you've set this up in every iteration of the rooms that this ship has had. Because there have been many iterations. At one point, you were sleeping between cannons, you know? But you always had your trusty hammock, and you... get those knots in tight, you know, you have the perfect like little figure eight in it and like a little carabiner to hook into the ship.
Nice.
But yeah, you set up your hammocks. So you guys all set up your own the private room for the party in the Huntsman.
Or Yurte turning around seeing the hammock. I'm gonna go to Slayer. Ah, a man after my own taste. Can't sleep in a bed.
I have been sleeping in this exact hammock for oh god, I don't know how many years. It's been a dozen, at least. Feels like home.
That's some good time to have a nice hammock. Yeah, I don't see how you sleep in it, though. I think it's seasick.
I like the rocking. Just puts me right to sleep.
Yurte just kind of just nods like, yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Slayer, wouldn't it be wise to get a brand new bed? Haven't you worn the old bed down?
Nah, I've worn it perfectly. It's just right and comfortable.
Slayer, who knows the germs and the rot on that poor hammock that you have?
Aye, but I've had it since the beginning.
I mean, technically Slayer would, because he's all the germs that's been on the hammock.
I just kind of lay into it and just start rubbing like the rope.
He's the one person who would know all the germs.
Just like, just up my hand up and down the rope.
Hey, you do you, man.
Slayer just making intense eye contact with Golan as he rubs some rope on his hammock. Aye, this be my hammock. Wink.
Weirdo. Fucking turn and walk away.
Just, you know, set up my dominance in my room. Yeah.
And I hop on my bed.
Okay, yep.
Get off my feet.
Would you guys like to take some time just to kind of like get acquainted with the room for a while?
Nah, Yurte is gonna leave.
Okay, yeah, Yurte, you walk out. Krolten is very quickly behind you. Anything else you guys would like to do? Are you guys leaving as well, or are you gonna take some time to chill?
Nah, I'm gonna go find some alcohol.
Okay.
I'm just gonna follow.
Okay, I'm gonna
follow them out.
Yurte, where would you like to go?
I was gonna go to where the party was gonna be.
Okay. This is probably around after getting your luggage, bring it over, and like setting up the rooms and everything.
Pretty early evening, right?
I would say it's probably around 3 or 4, so you have like another hour or two before the party starts.
I'm just gonna stand on the top deck and see if they follow it all for a bit. Like, I'm just
you're just gonna chill on the top deck for a while.
Yeah, stroll the deck for a bit.
Okay. Give me a perception check.
17.
Okay. So walking around the top deck, you notice a plethora of things happening because it's a lot of people getting acquainted to the new ship. You see the night crew getting used to people. You see like Clixes amongst them, you know, one of the only other faces like you can put a name to. You see some of the day crew, you see Biff, Gert, all of them just getting excited over all these new toys that they have on the ship, how much bigger it is. You see Pitcher up near the wheel talking downward to something, but you can't quite see with the angle you have. Clearly it's someone short, though. Yeah, that's what you see along the ship as you're walking around. Us, there are some like heartfelt conversations here and there with Squala as she is saying bye to some people, you know, like she's having those conversations early on.
I'm just gonna kind of just check everything out but not really do anything, just walk
the
ship,
you survey the early, the pre-game.
I just take my time observing all this stuff.
So you two, you guys had, you know, instantly you can get alcohol at either the Crooked Feather or the Marketplace.
Crooked Feather.
You head to the Crooked Feather, and you see as you walk in, Biff and Gert are still in there. They did spend time like moving their stuff to the ship, but they're currently in there, and you hear immediately as Biff as you walk in, Biff is talking to Pulley, the bartender, Tabaxi.
Yeah, and I need 5 kegs of this. I need 6 bottles of whiskey. I need some, what's this, mixer material? We can just scratch that off. I don't know what it is. And more beer and ale. Anything possible. And the less labels, the better, I've heard. Or if you want to get, you know what?
He puts down, like, 3 platinum from his pocket.
Give me some top shelf shit, too, today. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And Bully just nods, takes the list from him and just runs into the back. And you see Biff and Gert just sitting there. And you notice they're wearing much nicer clothing compared to when they first got on the island. Seems like they've been lucky.
I made that happen. I kind of walk over to them, put my arms in between them, put my arms around them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hi, mateys. How about you guys think of getting some beers and pre-gaming?
Right now?
Aye.
Biff snaps a finger and whoosh, 3 mugs just slide over as you see Pulley standing on the other side, just pouring a drink and sliding it down the bar and running behind this door to a back area. Then running back out, serving more people. He's very quick on his feet. But he also just puts down a golden and just says, keep him coming! So every time you drink and it gets low, you notice it just kind of fills back up.
Okay.
Before you really pick it back up. Think Doctor Strange meeting Thor.
Yeah.
Post-credit scene, yeah. You just feel a faint breeze as Pulley runs by to refill. What would you like to talk about?
I was just going to get, like, 2 beers.
Okay. So you just spend your time drinking, reminiscing. Just Biffinger basically tell you the play that they've had over this past week, these weeks, where Hustle, over the 2 weeks after the goblin fight pit, was a dwarf fight pit, and Biff just cleaned up. All the odds were in his favor, but he still cleaned up. Like, he was fucking him up. And he's very proud of himself for all of that, too. Gert talks about how, you know, he got that ponytail goblin from the first night of the fight pit. Him and her have been, like, you know, on and off over the past, like, month or so, okay. You know? It's been... He, at one point, describes it as violent and exciting.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
You do notice he has, like, a slightly broken, like, more broken nose, too, from all just the fights in general.
Oh, I thought that was going to be from the girl.
Roll insight.
18?
Yeah, you can... for some reason, you can just tell it's a sex-related injury. It's like, that happened during intercourse. I know it. I can just feel the energy of the wound is like, you're proud of that, aren't you? So you guys all, Golan, what would you like to do? Are you joining them in this drink or?
So I come in with Slayer. I will go up to the bar, like amongst like, and I like go up and I say, hey, whiskey, bartender.
Shot is right in front of you.
Take a shot of whiskey. I'm like, let's get the party started, and I swing around my cittern, and I start jamming.
Okay, give me a performance check.
Wow, I was playing at the bar, picking up seats, man.
That's a 23.
Dude, he rolled a 10.
So, though that you know this isn't your best performance ever, but it will do.
Because I got a
fan. And Slayer, Biffinger watching on are just like, this is incredible. This is some of the best music ever. Like,
bro, I'm just like jamming, like my fingers strumming the chords, like all that. I'm just getting the hype
up now to it.
What do you do with a drunken Slayer? What do you do with a drunken Slayer? What
straight
do
up do fucking drunken like
Slayer early in the morning.
Something very complicated. Like something like all over the place.
You just play through the Fire and Flames.
Straight up.
Not the best version of it that you've done, because you've done those 30s before.
Just but, a little medley of stuff.
You know, you definitely boost the mood over the next 2 hours as a lot of people who come in and out. You notice Zebrith does come in. She chats to you guys at one point.
And after that, I'm taking more shots of whiskey.
Nice.
Oh, God.
She has now yeah. on top of this little... Like, where her horn broke, she now has this tiny little metal replacement that mirrors her full horn. So it's not very well made, but it's kind of like bolted onto the horn that's still there and curves a little bit at the end. But around nightfall,
actually, as can I do something sets, before that?
Yeah, definitely.
Can Yerte leave the ship and go to Ballman's or Grog's when he gets the chance? I forget which one it is. The brothers?
Cheaper, more expensive.
Cheaper one.
Grog's. Got it.
Can I also, before we leave the bar and head back to the ship, can I buy a bottle of his most expensive liquor?
Yep, that will be...
To go. So to I have a whole bottle.
Yeah, you can just take the full bottle. Okay, yeah. That will be 5 gold.
5 gold? Okay. Yeah. I'll do that.
Actually, no, 10 gold.
10 gold?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do that.
Yeah, definitely. So, going to Grog's, what would you like to do?
I would like to ask him if he still has, one, because I brought him a customer. He said he'd give me a discount.
Yes.
And two, if I could get that mug of non-alcoholic beer if he still had it, because I said I'd check in afterwards to see if he still had it.
Oh, I definitely have it. Oh, yeah. No one bought it. No one found it was funny. But you.
I think it's great, and I'm going to need it.
Okay, let me just look up how much that was.
You're kidding me.
But your change doesn't
drink.
That's
insane. Dude, so they're just going to be filling up your cup just more and more. Be like, yeah, let's chug this.
Dude, we're going to be, let's go. So we're going to be filling your glass up a lot.
15 gold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that gold is a quirky, quirky buy.
Yep, so he gives you the tankard of sobriety.
That is quirk.
So that will basically take up your time up until the party.
Oh, yeah.
You spend your time.
Also, Carlton doesn't know.
Carlton, you don't take
Carlton? He wasn't with me, nah.
Okay. Carlton will be
He was busy, really checking out the ship, too.
Okay, and I'll, just with the I'll actually, let me so roll something for him.
I had him learn the ship.
Yeah, he doesn't learn it well. He got a 2.
That's fine. So he just walks around the ship, not getting what
I mean. Yeah, you basically tell him, learn the ship, and he just walks around touching the wood the entire time and just mind wandering, and, though he walks the full ship, he, stops at one point and just literally is just staring in one direction. 1,000-yard stares at it for a while, then continues on.
Oh, God.
But the night comes, and sun sets, but the spirits are high as a bunch of these magical orbs get tossed up in the center main deck of the Huntsman. You see Biff and Gert jump between masts and yell out as these little strings of magical lights blink along as you guys basically turn the pirate ship into a giant party barge. Biff and Gert set up numerous kegs and bottles of this fine and some not fine liquor and different types of alcohol. There's tons of different kinds of food bought by Zebrith from the marketplace. She has dinosaur meats, she has monkey meats, she has fish and all other kinds of sea life as well. And you see Pitcher stand up on top above the deck.
Aye, crew! We come here today not to say goodbye, but to wish good luck to one of the bravest and most free people I've ever known. Squala!
And you see her walk forward. And again, she's presenting herself in a much more confident way. He turns to her and then turns back to the crew.
Though she will be missed, she will always have a home on the Huntsman. And she'll always have a home here.
And he pounds his chest right over his heart.
For once you are a part of the crew, you are a part of our clan, our family. No matter where that may lead. Now Squala, tonight is for you!
And he pulls out a flask from his pocket and lifts it up. Everyone kind of joins in lifting up their tankards in the moment.
To Squala! And may she be as ruthless as her sister, as cunning as the rest, and may she be an ally forever.
And he's going to take a huge swig from his flask, and the rest of the Huntsman is going to join him, and the night parties on as everyone starts having a good time.
Can I go up to Squala then?
Yep.
Hi, Squala. Can I, you want to go up to the new, crow's nest and have one last final drink with me?
Right. Always, Slayer. Let's go. I got this.
She's actually gonna, and are you okay with this?
I guess so.
You just feel her legs clamp onto your shoulders as she lifts you off the ground. And it does, like, take a bit, but she gets you to the top. Might have been faster to climb. You don't know. But she gets you to the top and sits down. And you take out the bottle.
Yep, the new bottle I got.
And
you pop
the top off, spit it out, let it just fly off. And this crow's nest is much larger than the old one was. The old one could barely fit Squala as it was. This one can fit the two of you perfectly fine, with room to spare even, mm-hmm. for extra people. And you notice it actually, like, it seems to accommodate a bit. Like, it, coming from the main mass is a perch for where a bird or a harpy might sit. As a pitcher was planning on this being Squala's new outpost. She actually goes and she immediately just lands on it. And she sits there and you guys are passing the bottle back and forth between each other.
Yep.
What
do you like? Aye, Squala, this would have been a very nice crow nest for you.
Looks fantastic.
Aye, such a shame. But I know you'll be doing better things. Here.
I only wish to live up to what my sister did.
Aye, you know you will. And surpass.
Well, I can only hope. But with friends like you in my corner, I don't think I can fail.
Aye, exactly. I do have one question to ask you.
Alright.
I wonder if you could do me a favor, Squala.
Ask away.
Would it be possible for you to convince Captain Pitcher that we should go to Salvasa after we sail out?
Salvasa?
Aye, yes, I have some personal business I would like to go there, and I know it's the captain's homeland, and he's very,
Captain
worried.
Doesn't like talking about it. I know that for a fact.
I know. Squala, could you just do him this favor?
Roll a persuasion check with advantage, because you are both drinking, you guys are having a reminiscent time, and you two, Yurte and Golden, you guys know it's like Slayer and Squall, they're gone for a good solid like hour and a half, 2 hours as they're just talking and drinking. What'd you get?
A 9.
I had some terrible rolls.
She looks at you. I know the captain won't like it, but for you, Slayer? Why not? She rolled an 8, and she doesn't have good charisma.
Neither do I. I also rolled an 8.
Yeah. Aye, Squala, that means the world to me.
Anything to help out.
Aye, thank you so much.
And hey, maybe one day when you're captain, you can do me a favor.
Right? Aye, anything, Squala.
Good to know.
Anything.
Well, we should probably go and join the party after we finish this. And she grabs the bottle from your hand and starts drinking it. Give me a constitution saving throw for the night. For the first part of the night.
For the first night? Oh, this is just your private time as well.
That's what I mean by first part of the night.
Well, he was already day drinking.
23.
Yeah, you're doing okay. give me a constitution saving throw for the party.
16.
You're drunk. Because there is a lot of alcohol here, and a lot, and you ripped like 5 shots of whiskey in like 2 straight hours. So, yeah, you're pretty drunk. What would you like to be doing, Golan, during this time? As, like, say, Slayer and Squala are off, would you guys like just...
Can I survey the crowd and see who's around and what's around?
You're drunk, so these will be with disadvantage, but give me a perception check.
Disadvantage, right. 9.
You're looking around and it's the usual faces, you know? No one seems to be... Like, everyone seems to just be talking with each other. No conversations stand out to you or anything. You don't see any new faces or anything like that. That's all you really... It's the usual faces. You don't see where Squala went off to.
Gonna walk up to Golan and actually approach him. And Colton will be around.
Well, here, as Yurte approaches, I say, Ah, Yurte!
Howdy, Golan. How are you doing tonight so far?
I'm feeling pretty drunk, man. But honestly, feeling pretty detached right now.
Detached? Sorry to hear that, buddy. Sorry to hear that.
It's just that had a lot of parties back at school. This is very reminiscent.
Ah, sounds like you're not drinking enough.
You think so?
Well, you're making sense, so you're the only one I've talked to so far that has, so yeah, I think so. I ain't no pirate expert yet, but we're doing something wrong.
Ah, you're right, Yurite, you're right. You want to go get a drink?
I didn't bring any, but I got my cup. I'm going to just kind of brandish it.
What like is what is that?
As he pulls it out, it also kind of, it's very reminiscent of like, imagine if there were medieval version of like slushy, like promotional, like 7-Eleven slushy cups, because it's got like a Mogolo Stay like label on it.
It's literally so just it's a like, painted like.
Yeah, so imagine like a carnival like souvenir mug that you would get.
Medieval style.
Yeah.
I just see that. I'm just like, I do it like a double take. I'm like, Yurite, did you buy a souvenir?
Aye. This way I know it's always mine.
What is that?
It's my cup. Gotta be safe, you know?
Well, I gotta say that's pretty nerdy, my friend.
Well, it's only for special occasions, and this way, you know, if I only ever drink out of this, I have to have it, and I'm not gonna carry it with me everywhere. See? I'm thinking ahead.
You're a thinking man, aren't you?
Since when was the last time you saw me drink anyway?
That is a fact I cannot recall in my big brain.
I... Go get a drink. Because I'm assuming you have alcohol.
I suppose so.
Yeah, there are two massive kegs that are...
I'm going over getting some beers.
Yep, so you guys continue on drinking the night. Give me another constitution saving throw to see if you get worse.
Is there any liquor?
13.
Yeah, you're getting real bad.
Hey, can I make a roll with disadvantage?
Yeah.
Can I say we're doing like... Our
oh,
you
already had
like
disadvantage because
oh, you're
already
did?
Drunk. So that'd be with disadvantage, but you already fail, so...
Well, I want to see if he fails even harder, because I'm giving him shots mixed in the beer. We're doing, like, Jaeger bombs with beer.
Fine.
Okay, double disadvantage, I
guess. Not one.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. Fate decided.
You get Golan blackout drunk. Golan, I need you to
Golan's a light.
Dude, let's do it.
Roll a d20 three times.
This is why I need Colton to learn
and
the
then,
ship.
And then leave the room after you're done. You're blacking out.
Two.
13. Wait. Right, this is all Constitution saving.
No, no. I'm not telling you what these are because Golan does not know.
That's skewed. 5.
Okay, so 2, 13, and 5. Please take
down.
A brief second to step outside.
Oh, okay.
I'm going. So for the rest of the party, Yurite basically what you see watching him and being the one to provide the drinks. Golan gets sloppy drunk. He takes out his kithern, starts playing it, and like, imagine like a middle schooler who was like, he played for some years, but he starts playing this weird version of Old MacDonald Had a Farm on his kithern, but it's like kind of off key at moments, and like he's not doing it right, and everyone's kind of like looking at him. Midway through the party, he has his jacket off. And his shirt mostly unbuttoned as he is, like, dancing near random crew members and just starts, like, grinding on them. Sometimes from the back, sometimes from the front. To no music. As he was the one playing the music, but stopped to do this. And then, at the end of the night, Slayer, this is what you catch at the very end. Is him throwing up very violently. Onto Telif.
No.
As it seems like they were having a kind of serious conversation, then all of a sudden, waterfall of vomit from his mouth onto her, like, chest, stomach, legs, everything. And she just looks at him and turns away. And that is what Golan does at the end of the night. So, real quick, anything else you guys want to do to wrap up the night before we're basically calling it here and calling him back in.
Can we have a quick drinking game?
Can we have where he ends up sleeping is wherever Crolton led him, because that's why I had him learn the ship. Because it was going to be dark and people were going to be drunk.
Okay, that's perfect. Yeah.
Man was thinking ahead.
Okay. Crolton will be the one escorting him back to his room.
That's if they make it to the room.
Yeah, and with a 2.
Because Crolton's also If he chooses.
No, actually, that he does choose.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's good on the first check, second check. He's drunk by the end of the night.
All right.
Yeah. And then he got a 10 total on the second one, so.
So then, based off his two, if they make it to the room or not, because your take just goes to sleep.
Yeah. So yeah, you guys can have a drinking contest.
All right. I like that.
So, wait, we're having a drinking contest? Yeah, at one point, Slayer walks up to you, and he challenges you. He looks you deep in the eyes, and almost no words are truly spoken, where he just puts down his tankard. You put down your promotional Mongolos Festival mug. And you both fill it from the opposite kegs, and you just, like, not breaking eye contact, start drinking. I'm only going to need a constitution saving throw from Slayer. As the first ones go down.
We do the liquor stuff.
A 10.
You are drunk. The bottle's finally hitting you as you mix some beer with it now. It's not mixing well.
Oh, God.
Second round. Another constitution saving throw.
Is this three rounds?
This is second round.
Okay, better.
It's with disadvantage, by the way, because you're drunk.
Okay, still good. 14 plus 7.
Yeah, you're good. 21.
Yeah.
So second one, you down it. I don't know what to do. You're not...
I'm drinking it. Like I'm just aggressive.
Is it like a race?
Like, so at first, I just sipped and I made eye contact. So at first, I sipped and made eye contact. Now, yeah, I'm just more steadily, like, realizing it's a challenge, I'm digging at him.
Okay, so now give me a constitution saving throw. This is just keeping it down now. Because, you know, chugging any kind of drink is, you know... Even though it doesn't get you drunk. See, the rule for him was to see if it got him drunk.
Right.
Now it's a race off to see if you can keep it down.
Oh, okay. Cons or
con?
15.
Yep, first one, easy enough. Knock it back, stays down. Second round, or I guess this would be third round.
Disadvantage.
You're still disadvantaged because you are drunk.
Wow, that hurts.
Wow, that was a nat 20.
Does fate decide for you?
that would be cruel. 22.
You save. It goes down.
19 plus 6, so.
25. Yurte actually finishes a little bit quicker than you this time.
Okay.
Though you had the lead on him. Now, next round.
Fucking.
Yurte. What'd you get?
9.
What'd you get?
10.
You both throw up simultaneously. You, because, you know, it's been a while since you've actually tasted ale. And finally, it's kicking in, and you right into the cup as you, like, spit out, like, shoots out of your nose a little bit. Slayer, you look, you're drinking, and you're really plastered, and then some of the alcohol, you tilt a little bit too far back, the alcohol goes right up your nose, and you inhale sharply, and it hits the back of your mouth, and you just and spill it all out, and, like, you throw up a little bit from the sensation.
Oh, that's lovely. After we both puked, I just kind of put out my paw. And, like, just a shake on it, like, tie. Even tie.
I just acknowledge and just keep moving on. Like,
yeah. So you guys finish up the night.
Clean out. I just rinse it out, you know.
That's gross.
And so you guys finish up the night. Golan, blackout drunk, at Krolten, him leading him back. He's going to have disadvantage on survival to get him back. Yeah, it's only a 10. We'll find out. you guys... end up going back to your rooms or your room now, and passing out as Squala had said her goodbyes, and there were tearful moments with Zebrith. Slayer, you got a proper goodbye. Yurte, you got a simple, just, you know, you guys acknowledged each other in a sense, you know. Golan was already blubbering on himself practically by the time Squala was leaving, so. But the night comes to you all, and get Max. So you guys wake up the next day. Yurte, Slayer, in your beds. Golan, next to a cannon. Spooned by Krolten. As Biff and Gert just kind of look up at you. Like, you wake up with the worst headache of your life. You have a bad taste in your mouth. And you look up to see Biff and Gert just looking at you. And Krolten's arm around your shoulder.
What? Huh?
Oh, just and like shirt completely unbuttoned, but still tucked in.
Possibly throw up.
Who's? Sunlight. Golan, looks at everything.
Hey, what's up, man?
We didn't.
What do you
mean?
He looks
at himself. He's still in his like full armor set and everything too. He's like, okay, good. And he's gonna stand up. I'm gonna go lie down in that bed. I thought I had. What time is it?
Garden looks at him. Year is it?
Well, I mean, we're leaving in like 3 hours, so.
Okay, I gotta get up then.
Yeah, you're having a rough morning. You two, you guys wake up. What would you like to do?
I make a cup of coffee.
Roll that coffee check for me.
Oh. 18.
Okay. You make the best cup of coffee you've had so far. And part of it is because Pulley, as a little parting gift, gave you a little bag of Irfell blend coffee beans. And he actually told you a little special way of blending these specific coffee beans. So when you do Irfell coffee, you get advantage on your roll. See how good it is. But this is a very good first cup of coffee for you.
Does it smell good?
Oh, it smells heavenly.
Aye, mate. It's the first good smelling cup of coffee you've ever made.
In fact, Golan, you're kind of... It catches you from where you wake up.
Oh, dang. Someone made coffee.
I could get some of that.
And more flashbacks to your university days are just flooding in, you know?
Just like, I gotta get up. Do an exam at 9 a.m.
Shit, finals. Kind of morning.
Yeah.
I
was up all night. Yeah.
You guys all get together into the room eventually as you start your mornings. Head above deck. And Pitcher addresses the crew once again. Now everyone, we cast off in merely an hour. Get to your stations, get the ship ready, for we'll be sailing the sea for a while, and, we're headed to the Golden Archipelago to get the wood for our, prize, and he pats this, medium-sized egg by his side. And, other things! And he looks at you, Slayer. But the crew starts getting ready at that point. What would you like to do?
They're near me, right?
Mm-hmm. You guys, so you guys, if for sake of speeches, you guys all stand next to each other because you come from the same area.
I wonder who's going to be the new navigator.
I wonder who that should be. Yes, indeed.
Anybody got a good compass?
You hear Zebrith yelling, Slayer, come here, we need to talk to you in the captain's quarters.
Hi, mateys, I'll be right back.
You walk in. And Pitcher sitting there at his desk. Zebrith standing, like, facing the door, but leaning up, like, half-sitting on the desk itself. So, Slayer, we need a new navigator.
I was just hearing about that through the crew.
Yes, Biff and Gert talked about it this morning. They wanted to be the ones to do it, and I said we'd think about it. Okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page there, then. Who do you think should be the next navigator?
You know, Golan, very good with all those maps.
She's gonna look down at Pitcher and he's gonna shrug his shoulders. Well, if you would like, you can be the one to tell him. He's our new navigator. We really didn't have anyone in mind because half the people on this ship don't know how to read, and he seems like the most educated one. But I recently heard that Yorite got a magic compass, so I was like, maybe him.
A magic compass?
Yeah. I heard he was like carrying around this big orb after going to the market, and people were like, that's one of Grog's compasses.
You know, Golan's maps are very impressive, Captain, but you know, a magic compass. Imagine where that could point us to.
You mean like north?
I mean to our desires.
I'm pretty sure it just points north.
Desires.
That's all we need for sailing is north.
Yeah.
Magic.
Well, okay, so what if we do this? What if we make them both navigators? One for direction, one for maps?
I think that's the best idea.
Well, since you are their roommate.
I'll let them know.
Let them know. They will be co-navigators of the ship, so they will have to be working together on all of everything that they do. Well, Have fun telling them that. We leave in like half an hour.
I'll go grab them.
Yep. So yeah, you go out and you can see Slayer walking out from the captain's quarters.
Aye, mateys, I got great news for both of you. I kind of pull him in.
Oh boy, what is it, Slayer?
Aye, I got you guys some new jobs. Real upper management shit.
Just come with a pay raise. Knowing that there's no pay.
If we plunder more ships, then yes. Aye, but guess what? Golan, you're good with those map thingy jigs.
You could say that.
And I, Yurte, word is you got yourself a magical compass that points to people's desires.
It's magical.
I have a compass that's made magically, and I'm going to like reach in my bag of everything and just pull out.
It's just a magic compass.
And you just see it go, it just lights up, and it just there's just a simple arrow in the center of it, and it just wobbles a little bit and then stops in one direction. And Yurte, you know, when you look at it, a little N pops up right above the arrow and goes north.
Aye, but with your magic compass and his map thing skills, you guys are both now co-navigators. And we set sail in half an hour, skills. So...
Dude, she's just gonna look down at the compass, just look back and go,
we gotta,
yeah, I can
we gotta help. Get sailing soon.
Well, where are we going? Where
should we sail?
The Golden Archipelago.
Yeah, but that's like a big place. Like, there's a lot of like islands in there and towns and cities.
Do I know the exact place to tell them? Or do
this is the map you guys have of the sea. So, you have that.
Go talk to Pitcher for the exact details of where we're going.
Ooh, I get to talk to Pitcher?
Mateys, I need you guys to set course for Oxalin. We leave in half an hour. Good luck.
And I just kind of pat him on the shoulders.
Okay. So you guys now have the map. You know you are here.
Urfell.
You need to get... Well, actually, to be more accurate, you're here on the northern end, so you have to sail around it. Basically, you guys can take this way, Salvat. Oxalin is on the opposite end.
Do we also have a big map or no?
Yeah, do we?
Like, would we have this far out one?
Yes, you guys would have the far out one.
So we're here, and I'm kind of like, it's like that overlay screen to it.
Yeah.
That is the edge.
And we're going, I know where it is, right?
We said I know the area. Yeah. Give me a history check with advantage.
Oxalin's here.
Yeah, we got a 14.
With that, you actually know exactly what they were talking about with this wood. It's one of the many things you've heard of in your studies. It's this wood from a tree on this island called Oxalin. It's actually very hard to miss as the tree towers above everything else in the region. It's one of the highest points in all of the Golden Archipelago.
Well, we need wood, and there's an island with a giant tree, so I'm just going to assume that's it. You know, it's a map. I'm assuming it's accurate. No, could not be. I don't know who made it. I'm assuming it's that island since we don't have a map. We can probably approach one of these towns here on the outside and get a better map and then keep going. Would I know of, like, any safe, like, waterways? Or no? Like, roughly, like, if there's, like, a big, like, shipping... Like,
that would be another history check.
So do you want to sail... you don't want to sail south underneath Melora's Keep and then inside the Golden Archipelago. Do you want to sail up north?
Well, I don't know which way is safer. See, I'm no expert, and all I know is we know these waters.
Can I roll to see if I know which way is safer or if I know the patterns of the sea?
Give me a nature check.
All right.
See, we don't... Yurte don't know. Yurte's no pirate, and they put him in charge.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, no, you've never sailed the sea before. So when you think, whoa, what would be safer, north or south, you literally have no idea.
And I'm giving you the reason that we've been through these waters before, so it makes sense that we know them a little more. Like, that's where our ships were. That's where, like, the Huntsman was. So I'm assuming north is safer since we've been north. It could be not, but...
That's well, you guys can also get other opinions. You can go ask other people.
Right now we're just talking. So we'll
yeah, yeah. If you guys would like to bring any other crew members into this, you can.
I say we get Pitcher's opinion. Maybe he sailed these seas more than us. Maybe we head back towards Inutau and then sail above the Golden Archipelago to Oxalon. But maybe he knows a better path.
Is Slayer, like, standing there with us? Or is he?
Yeah, you guys can all have... Away. Oh, you walked away.
I wish them good luck, and I walked away.
Yeah, he's gone.
So, we're just standing... Colton's been...
Colton's sitting there. Because
I don't exactly know if the northern path or the southern path would be better.
Well, we don't know if anything's better.
What if we just go, island hop? Wait, aren't there... Look, there are a bunch of islands clustered next to Irfell on that map, and we can go to that cool place that says Melora's resting place as, like, a little stopping point, and then we can just go from there to that Salvasa place that Slayer's always talking about.
Oh. Yeah, but Pitcher don't like Salvasa.
Huh.
Depends on how urgent it is that we get to Oxalon.
And there's some islands we can't stop at, and we also have enough supplies that we don't need to stop.
No, just, I mean, it looks like the most direct route to any
Hey, man, I'm just the map man. Pitcher is the one that gives the orders.
Well,
Pitcher says where we're sailing to next.
So after you guys are deliberating for about, like, 15 minutes or so, Zebrith then comes out of the captain's quarter and goes, Navigators inside, Slayer, you two, come on. And you guys are called into the captain's quarters, where you guys will now be discussing with Pitcher and Zebrith where you guys will be going and what route you will take. So, you can ask away. You now have Zebrith and Pitcher's ear.
So, where are we going? Like, I know where we're going, but how are we going there?
So, I have the map. So, I have these maps. You know, I lay them on the table.
I told them.
Smooth them out so everyone can see where we're going.
Okay. So, the question is, do we go north or south?
Yeah, that we
that
we
would
got
be
to that
exactly
conclusion.
The conclusion.
Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. Give me a coin.
Really?
Puts it in his hand. South.
Heads. We're going south.
Yurte is then going to look at the map, kind of look at that, kind of like turn it so it's like oriented the way we had it on the deck.
Mm-hmm.
So like I have it facing as if we were standing there, but just on the table.
Yeah.
And so I know how to talk. So, and I'm like on the big map, cause like, I'm not even thinking the small one. I'm just like, so are we stopping anywhere? Or are we just going?
Well, I suggest we, those small islands, people don't really know what's on them. They're so small. No one really pays them mind, but Melora's resting place. We're going to want to steer clear of. Well, clear of. That is where,
Why so?
Well, that is the stronghold of, Maloran's fleet.
Hey.
I take it that would be bad company.
I very
Well,
bad.
Considering they hate you now after you killed some of their crew, yeah.
There he is, gonna scratch his neck a little.
A fair statement.
Well, you think you can get us there? Looking at Golan right now.
Do you want to visit some of the islands?
We'll see when we get there. How about that? Well, we're casting off in soon. Any final remarks? Anything?
Where's the navigator go? I usually just mopped for the last few months.
He just points upwards.
And then realization is going to like pause in Yurte's face. Just like,
or they can stand in the front of the ship. It's up to them. Or next to me on the wheel.
He's going to sit there shaking his head like, ah. Okay.
If you'd like, we can work on getting a stand for your bald thing while it's on the ship.
At the mention of that, your attention just goes, oh, this? And just reaches out and pulls it out and be like...
Yep, the arrow pops up again, little, and it goes, north.
I love that. And be like, okay.
Yeah.
That would probably be a good idea. Because then I don't have to hold it all the time. It's not nearly as heavy as my sword, but it'd just be annoying. And I might drop it.
You know? So we'll get you a stool or something to put it on.
Yeah, maybe we'll construct a stand one day.
Yeah. We'll get Natter right on that.
that's a
good one. Captain, rest assured, I don't need a stool, but I'll be at your side whenever you need the map to survey where we are going.
Good to know, so stay within earshot.
Always.
So, we're setting off. So, Pitcher walks out, you hear him yell to the rest of the crew, and you hear a large... and the sound of chains as the anchor is pulled up, and you feel the familiar shift as the boat begins to set off from Irfell, and you all begin on your adventure to the Golden Archipelago.
So after it gets out of the bay,
yes,
can I make an attempt to actually climb to the
Sure, give me an athletics check.
23.
Yeah, you get up there, no problem. This is nothing. Even in full armor, yeah, okay, too. You make it up there, no problem. And this is a very spacious crow's nest. It's about, say, 15 feet end-to-end. With the mast coming up for about another 8 feet or so from where it connects to the crow's nest, with that perch being about 5 feet up. And it's got walls about 3 feet high. For you, they're not super high, but, you know, for someone like Squall, they would have been perfect.
If I laid down, they'd cover me.
Yeah. But yeah, you look out to the entire ocean. It is... Give me a perception check.
I'll bet. 17.
It looks beautiful. Not a cloud in the sky. And it... Honestly, you can't tell if it's the smell of the ocean or the smell of adventure. If that sounds cliche.
Dope.
Yeah. So you guys all set off. First day of travel on the ship, what would you guys like to do?
Yurte's going to collect supplies for the crow's nest. I'm actually going to bring my sleeping stuff up there and tuck it in a corner, like roll it all up, and then at night I'll unroll it.
So you're going to be sleeping in the crow's nest. Okay.
He's going to, since I got up there so easily,
Yeah, now from now on it's quick up and down for you. So yeah, you spend your first day making a nice little homey place for yourself in the crow's nest. Golan?
I'm going to just like take a day to live a day to become situated in my room. And I'm just going to come, maybe go door to door and say hi to people and check in on how, like, Ella is doing, maybe. Wait, okay. I'm going to check in on Ella.
Yeah, sure.
Actually, let me check in on Ella. Let me see how she's doing.
You go to the room that would be Zebrith's and Ella's. They are the only ones with a room of just two people. Everyone else is either doubled up or in a single bed, like, out in the open. Ella is not in that part during the day, actually. You open up, she's not in there, you go looking around a little bit. Give me, an investigation check.
10.
It takes you longer than you'd like to admit. It takes you a good solid, like, hour and a half to 2 hours of your day of just looking for Ella. And for a second, panic sets in, you know? But you're like, we just left, there's no way we left her behind, Zebrith wouldn't have done that, you know? And you just open up one of the, you're in the middle layer right now, you're walking past all the cannons, and you hear something shift in one of the storage areas. You run over there, and you move the door, you open up the door and move aside some boxes, and you see, sitting next to the egg that you guys won, is Ella. She's just kind of sitting there, holding it.
Oh, Ella! I'm speaking in Sylvan, of course.
Yep.
Ella! Oh my god, I spent, I don't know how long looking for you.
I'm just here, she responds in Sylvan. Of course.
What have you been doing this whole time?
I'm just keeping it warm.
Is it your new friend?
She, like, puts an ear to it. I hope so.
Do you think it'll grow up to be a big, strong dragon someday?
Her eyes go wide. You don't think.
Who knows what can happen? It could be fate. That it is born via the crew of the Huntsman. It could be bound to this ship and be our friend forever.
She's gonna, like, put both her arms around and, like, hug it super tight. I'm never leaving this thing's side. Until it hatches.
Well, you can leave its side. It'll be safe here. We will keep it safe for sure.
She just, like, smushes her face, like, into the side, so her cheek is now, like, flat against the rough, scaled egg. She, like, starts rubbing her cheek against it, never leaving the side.
What does, like, a dragon egg exactly look like? I'm imagining a chicken egg, but that's definitely not what
you
it
know
looks like.
Around the size of a hobbit, right? Halfling size.
Right.
It's that big. And it is covered in palish green scales.
Okay. I'm going to go... Okay. Now, Ella. You're not going to stay with it all day, every day. You know what I mean?
Give me a persuasion joke.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Does she know what you mean?
Yes. 14.
Yeah, she knows what he means. She just kind of frowns a little bit. Why not?
It has to be on its own. It's the natural way for an egg to sit and wait on its own.
I thought moms were supposed to keep eggs warm.
Well,
abandon them and leave them alone in the ship.
Do I know? Would I know how a dragon egg is supposed to hatch?
Give me a history check.
Or anything like that? Like, do I know?
Give me a history check.
Dragons are not chickens. It's a 17.
You actually have no idea. actually, like this is something that is... You know why you don't know. It's a rare occasion where it's like... You know you don't know it because no one knows it. Because dragons safeguard their reproductive works from humanity and... from Dragonborn because they are separate from them. You know, in recent years, Dragonborn and dragons have not gotten along. And this is within, like, the past, like, 200 years or so, you know? For Dragonborn and dragons, nothing. But they haven't gotten along. And, you know, after a certain time, the secrets and the knowledge of how dragons reproduce, how their eggs hatch, and what conditions they hatch under were safeguarded and destroyed by dragons so that it could not be manipulated and people wouldn't be enticed to steal their babies and their eggs. So you know that, like, all knowledge on dragon eggs is lost.
Would I know that this is definitely a dragon egg?
Give me an investigation check.
Nat one.
You have no idea what this is. You think it could be a dragon's egg? You've never seen a dragon's egg in person. You know, no one has. You've seen depictions of it, and it looks like it could be roughly the same size, but you also don't know if, like, the reference sizing in books was to Dragonborn scale or to your scale, you know? And to your scale, it's, like, only, like, 5 or 6 inches shorter than you.
Can I do an Arcana check on it?
Sure. This will be, like, say, another half an hour, 14. Hour of your day. No magic coming from it. No magical essence or anything. Yeah. But anything else you would like to do with Ella?
I guess I'll just say, you know, I'll just, like, get up and I'll say to her, well, I guess I'll just leave you with the egg. I'm sure you'll keep it very safe. I'll send Zebrith.
Bring me blankets to keep it warm.
Oh, I'll do that. Where can I find blankets? I'll look for them.
Just give you, like, the... How would I know?
I wouldn't be asking if any.
All right, I'm going to go look for some blankets.
I've been on this ship less than you. I'm going to go investigation.
14.
You find blankets. Yeah. They're in a storage area in the front of the ship, in a crate. There's some extra blankets for crew members.
I grab a bunch, and I run back, and I
give her the blankets. That'll be your first day activity, just spending time with Ella and, like, warming up the egg. Slayer.
Do some light gambling with Biff and Gert.
What kind of gambling?
Light gambling?
Well, what game would you like to play?
A card game.
Okay, yeah. So, we'll do just a simple card game. People have playing cards, like, of, like, decks that are mashed together, you know?
Okay, we'll do some playing.
Yeah, so, games. It will be luck for the first roll for your hand. Right. See how good it is. Then if you... then you can roll insight against your opponents, against their deception rolls, and they'll roll insight against the deception roll from you. So there's a total of...
We've played this before.
Yeah, there's a total of 3 rolls.
Luck.
Luck, insight, and deception. Insight and deception, you roll, and then you tell me the deception first, and then the insight.
And what is the actual, like, roll number? Is that luck?
For luck?
Yeah.
Like, it's just a straight d20 roll.
And that's your number? That's what...
Yeah, it's like your the quality of your hand, so to speak.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
So
three rolls. Three rolls right away.
Okay. What was your deception roll?
8.
Okay. And what was your insight roll?
15.
15? You can tell that Biff has a garbage hand. Okay. Gert's a little more safeguarded, though. You can't tell what his hand is like. And... you get the feeling that neither of them can tell what you have. What would you like to gamble?
Be honest, I'm just going to fold.
Just going to fold?
Is that an option?
Yeah, so it's like one silver ante.
That's a new choice.
Just to buy in, right?
That's a new one.
So Slayer's going to fold.
Yeah, so minus one silver.
So it's just Biff and Gert going back and forth, and they... You see Gert just sit there smiling. As he's just dragging this on, as Biff just keeps, like, psyching himself up and throwing in more money, up until, like, the pot's about a gold's worth of silver just from Biff and Gert alone. And then Gert puts down his hand and goes, "Buddy, I knew I had a better hand from the beginning." And he has 3 of a kind. Biff has... What number do you have?
I had a 5 for luck.
Yeah, that's... you would have lost.
Yeah. I knew.
Biff got a 10, Gert got a 14.
Yeah, I rolled poorly.
Yeah, you got a 3 and a 2 in your hand. So, another round?
Yeah, we'll do this like 3 times.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Wow, let's go.
Okay. Deception?
7 and 7.
Oh, for deception.
And sight, yeah.
Okay. So, with that, you can tell Biff, he has a worse hand than last time.
Okay.
Can't get a read on Gert again.
Alright.
You look at Biff, and you... Or tell me if you have good, okay, or great. Like scale it.
I'd say between good and great.
Good and great? Okay. How much are you gambling? You have the one silver Annie.
Alright. I'm going to throw down a whole gold. I'm not confident.
Biff immediately folds.
All right.
Gert throws down a gold. Right. Actually, throws down two.
Oh, I kind of match him.
Okay, so you put down an extra gold.
Here we go.
3, 2, 1. What'd you get?
16.
You got a 17.
No. Here we go.
So
Gert won that, so subtract 2 gold and a silver.
Yep. Okay.
Last round.
Just one more time. What's your last roll?
For me?
Or, like, when you roll on the...
Mine's deception.
Okay.
Okay. What'd you get on deception?
Natural 20.
Biff got a natural 20 on insight. What number did you get?
15.
Okay. What is your insight?
12.
12? You can't tell what either of them have. They're each going to put down 3 gold.
Dude.
I'm gonna match it.
Okay. Biff and Gert then look at each other. Biff folds. Gert puts down 3 more gold. He's not done betting before you guys reveal the cards.
You know, why not? I'll throw it down.
Okay. So, you guys are going to reveal. You show your hand. You have 3 of a kind. Gert flips over his hand. He has a ace. Nothing.
Dude.
And you can even tell the cards aren't even from the same deck set.
What?
Okay.
He got a nat 1 on his luck roll.
He went so balls to the wall with the betting.
Yeah, he tried bluffing you.
Didn't work.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Sweet.
So yeah, you spend your day gambling with them. That's how you guys spend your mornings. Let's now get, for the next day...
How much would I have won there?
For that one, so it was 6 from Gert. So 3 silver total. Plus okay. 9 extra gold.
Oh, I made 1 gold.
Your first day goes by pretty uneventful. You know, you guys all go about your separate things, setting up your crow's nest and your navigator's section. Krolten actually joins you at one point and, like, puts some pillows up there for you guys to sit in when you're, like, a relaxing spot. He starts wearing his armor less on the ship as well. You and Ella spend your time going, warming up the egg and just making sure it's comfortable. Zebrith checks in on you guys too. Slayer, you spend the day being a degenerate, gambling and drinking with your friends.
Sounds just like Slayer.
And the next day rolls by. Let me get a D4 roll from someone.
Got it. It's a 2.
So,
quick question though, too.
Yes.
Would Yurte be able to see if they had any, like, extra rope, wooden nails, like, on the ship?
Yeah, they would. Just for, like, repairs and things like that on the ship. Yeah.
Does anybody see a dice on the floor?
Which one?
One of my 10. I found a purple one, Nick.
Oh, you found?
On the floor.
Finding each other's die. I already found it.
Okay.
Easy peasy.
The second day. It's a bit cloudy today. A little overcast. It's a grayer day. Not as optimistic overall compared to the day before. Seems like overnight a storm might have slowly moved in. And as most of the crew is hanging out below deck, as, you know, they fear thunder or a storm might be coming around, Yurte, where would you like to be today? Just on top of the crow's nest?
Is it, like, storming yet or no?
No, it looks like it's...
beginning of the day?
It's close. It looks like the storm is moving towards you guys in this moment, and you can feel it kind of in the air. It's very atmospheric right now.
I'm just gonna instead of like usually I like roll up my stuff and keep in the corner. I'm gonna take it and bring it down.
Okay.
With me, and I'm gonna go. If it's gonna be storming, kind of, he's actually gonna go below deck, and I'm gonna kind of have the stuff like stacked up and like kind of make measurements with like extra planks of wood, and then see if I can, you know, almost like making like part of a chest because I'm gonna build it into the wall so that way they can stay dry up there.
Got it. Yeah.
So that way I don't have
to. Give me a survival for the measuring out and like the partial construction of this thing. You got the wood together.
Yeah.
You kind of size it up and you can get a rough shape to it. It needs some work, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, you got a good thing
just
going.
Just start. Okay, good.
Slayer, what are you doing?
I'm going to talk to Captain about Salvasa.
Okay. He is in his...
I'll go to his room. Knock on the captain's quarters.
Yeah, you can come in.
Hi, Captain, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Slayer?
Good. I have a question. Did, Swalla come and talk to you before we left port?
Aye, she did.
Aye, and, any thoughts on what she said?
She implored me to listen to you a bit more. So... Now's your time. Present your argument. Why should we go to Salvasa first?
Aye.
Or at all, for that matter.
Aye, Captain. You remember I drew that card, and I lost my cloak.
Yes, I remember the sad story of the cloak.
Aye, but all magical items just, you know, my ring just turned to dust and vanished, you know? It all, like, burnt up except the cloak. It just teleported. Something special about it.
And you think that, it's smart for you to go after this thing. This special cloak.
Aye. It chose me, Captain, you know. It was a little tiny cloak, and then all of a sudden I go to put it on, and boom. My size.
Give me a persuasion check with advantage.
16.
We'll go to it after we're done on Oxalin. We'll take the long route round, but we'll save Salvasa for later.
Sounds perfectly fine to me, Captain.
Good. Glad we could work that out. And as you guys are talking, you actually hear, like, below deck, near the quarters. Sounds like Biff yelled something similar to drink. Like, you hear a call, almost, like a horn. Your drinking buddies are assembling. You can feel it in your bones.
I'm making my way down.
Golan, what would you like to do on this second stormy-ish day?
Well, just because it's stormy outside doesn't mean I can't try and mess around with my new whip.
Okay, so you're up above deck. Give me athletics checks.
Athletics, great. 14.
14. Okay, you start practicing with the whip, and every now and then you just... You get a satisfying crack out of it, and though it is one solid whip right now, you do notice at the end, it kind of curls together. And as you're testing it out, you bring it around, and you twirl it, and you go for this whip, and you can swear for a second you see it unfurl and strike twice as you hear almost like a double crack of a whip, and you bring it back, and it's twisted back together in the end. You're just basically, like, you're getting the feel of it, you know?
Yeah, I'm feeling
you,
it.
I want you, like, you get that's dangerously cool. Close to whipping some crew members at times, and you have to go, oh, sorry, like, you try and whip a barrel, but you miss the barrel and accidentally whip some dude in the ankle or something, like, you...
My goodness.
You're still rusty with it.
Yeah.
But as you're cracking the whip, you almost hear above you the... Rain begins to peter down on the ship. And you notice people start running below deck. Everyone's kind of gathering below deck. On their little living quarters. And they're having a good time. Biff is actually hosting a small little, like, think a dorm party, open door. Everyone's hanging out. He's got a keg on tap for everyone to drink from, and, like, they're just having a grand old time. Everyone's having a pretty fun day when I'm going to need a perception check from everyone. Oh, God.
8.
5. 22.
Slayer, you get down there, you're with your drinking buddies, but then you hear a very familiar sound. Water splashing, but it's very specific. You look out one of the portholes and you can see not 1,000 feet from the ship, off the port side of the ship, is a large black warship standing taller than the Huntsman, longer than the Huntsman. And with a 22, you see the name clear as day. The Cleaver, with a masthead of a skeleton holding a scythe sideways, blade out, curved. And you see smoke rising from their cannons, as they have just sent some warning shots. And that is where we will end our session today. Yeah. We're reaching an hour and a half. We're at 11:30.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. I'm just whole.
So next session, we're starting off with an encounter with the Cleaver as they hail the ship. So, let's do that wrap up. Thank you everyone for listening to episode 17. This was a off-schedule recording, but you know, we have like Easter and all that coming up. We still wanted to play. Follow us always at RTFDD&D. Find us on Spotify, Google Podcast, Pocket Cast, Anchor. Do you guys have any shout-outs or anything you guys want to do? I actually have one. Check out AC Delvers on Twitch, on TikTok, and on Instagram. They're a friend of mine. They have a live stream D&D campaign. They're currently doing Descent into Avernus, which is a really fun module from D&D, Dungeons & Dragons. So, yeah, check out AC Delvers if you guys get the chance. They're really great, really awesome DM, a close friend of mine. But to everyone who listened, thank you, and we hope you listen to us next week.